It's time for JT the Brick.
Reset the show. This is the home of the Raider Nation, where Raider fans have a voice on this. I love putting fans on the radio. I love hearing emotion. I love hearing passion. I love hearing people, if they're critical or they're happy, whatever there is, I like to hear people to know I'm on the radio, not guests if they're listening and wondering if they're out there. And hopefully I bring that to the radio show. Fandom, fandemonium, getting people excited about sports.
JT the Brick.
I care about going to games and winning games. That is it. I like to pause, have a sip of water, and talk to a Raider fan, either in a chat or over the phones, who has something smarter to say than I do, which many do. More knowledgeable fans than me, I admit that. More passionate fans than me? Yeah, there's a number of them. But I'm the gateway to getting everybody in here to let it rip. There's never an off season in the Raider Nation. Got it? That's the show.
And now,
fandemonium.
Here's JT the Brick.
Welcome back, JT, as we wrap up our Friday here for the Silver and Black on the flagship of the Silver and Black, Raider Nation Radio, brought to you by the DiCastaverde Law Group. The brothers have your back. Brotherswin.com. Orlando and Alex DiCastaverde, a legacy built on their father's law firm initially, and what these gentlemen have done since is magnificent. Unbelievable. Go to brotherswin.com, see everything. I always tell you, hopefully you don't need them, but if you do, you can trust them. They're my friends. I've referred clients to them, and they treat everyone the same. They'll do anything and everything to give you the proper representation you need if you get into an accident. 702-222-9999. The brothers have your back, and I know this because I know the brothers, and they're the real deal. They'll help you out. They'll do everything to help you. Personal injury, vehicle accidents, whatever you need, it's all there on the website there. In Espanol, La Familia, the brothers have your back. It's the DiCastaverde Law Group. So, little project here. I wanted Bobby to save this. I asked Bobby, you know, everything we do live in radio, it kind of disappears. Lately, I've been doing a lot of social media. I rebuilt all my personal social media on YouTube because I never had it. And I do the podcast with Looney, my longtime partner back in the day on the radio. And the reason I'm doing this on video and these podcasts is basically to have something for my kids and grandkids someday down the road, because all the radio that I've done my entire career is gone. I have things in the garage like old CDs and interviews with Bill Walsh and Joe Montana. I'd have to dig it out, but in the modern era of radio, everything, when it started to become more digital, a lot of it disappeared. I worked 17 and a half years for Fox. Fox didn't save anything. When I left, they didn't give me anything. I can tell you that. So a lot of times I want to put things on the record so I'll have them in years to come and go back. And that's one of the things I'm doing with this YouTube page that we built, JT the Brick YT on YouTube, because all of that, the shorts, the reels, everything is up there, and hopefully I'll be able to look back at it for years to come. So I told Bobby today, and I mentioned it yesterday, I was pretty, not upset, disappointed. I don't know what the right word is, but the win total this year for the Raiders is 6.5, and that's a low number. That means if you think the Raiders are going to win more than 6 games, because you can't win 6.5. If you think you're going to win 7, you bet the over. If you think they're going to win less than that, you bet the under. So if you think the Raiders are going to only win 6 games, you'd win if you bet the under on that at 6.5. So I'm looking at what came out yesterday. This is from, let me get the FanDuel. FanDuel Sportsbook. This is the current NFL season win totals as of yesterday. And it could vary, but it's pretty much right. So I'm going to go from top down. At 11.5 wins, it's Baltimore, Kansas City, and San Francisco. That sounds about right with me. If you think those teams are going to win less than 11 games, right, or less than 12 games, you bet the under. They got to win at least 12 for you to cash your over ticket. San Francisco is still very good. Kansas City is elite. And Kansas City didn't lose a lot of players. That's what gets me nuts. They should have lost players, more players. They brought back Chris Jones. And their offense is pretty loaded. They got a receiver in the first round. So at Kansas City, if Vegas and the Bentnose and the Sharps think they're going to win 12 games, they might win more. I hope not, but you never know. So let's leave Kansas City out. Baltimore, 11.5. I don't like that. I would think Baltimore would be under. At 10.5, that means these teams have to win 11 games. Buffalo, Cincinnati, Dallas, Detroit, and Philly. I think the only team that I think is going to win more than 11 games on this list is Detroit. Dallas had a big year last year. Dallas didn't do anything in the offseason. They've done nothing. And I think Dallas can win 11 games, but I like the under on that. Cincinnati, Joe Burrow's always injured. He's got a wrist injury now. I don't know why everybody loves Cincinnati, their roster. I don't think it's a brilliant roster. And Joe Burrow's a great player, man, but they're living on this Joe Burrow reputation of how great he is. And Buffalo's been very good under Josh Allen, and I think that Buffalo's the type of team that can win, you know, 11 games or more, but their window is closing. So if you said to me exactly what do I think, I would think that Buffalo would be right at that number. I think they're going to win 10 or 11 games. But here's what got me going. At 9.5, that means that a lot of people think they're going to win 10 games. Atlanta? How the hell is Atlanta at 10 wins with Kirk Cousins? Well, Kirk Cousins is the type of quarterback that can get you. They brought in Michael Penix Jr. They still don't have a pass rush. So at 9.5, it's Atlanta, Green Bay, Houston. Houston deserves it. Miami and the Jets. The Jets again. Here we go with the Jets. Wait till I get to the Raiders number. The Jets' season win total is 9.5 because of one thing, Aaron Rodgers. If Aaron Rodgers plays great, they bolstered their offensive line. They got good weapons. They're pretty good on defense. If Aaron Rodgers goes down, if God forbid something happens again, they don't get near this number if he's healthy. Yeah, I think the Jets can win 10 games, and they're in the Raiders conference in the AFC. At 8.5 games, Chicago Bears, who came on strong last year. Remember, they beat the Raiders. We lost to Chicago in Chicago at Soldier Field. 8.5. With Caleb Williams, can they win 9 games with Roma Dunze? Sure. But I don't think they will. Then Cleveland, Indy. Indianapolis season win total is 8.5. Indy. How much better do you think Indy is than the Raiders? If it's anything, it's a little. Jacksonville, the Chargers. Here we go. Chargers season win total, 8.5. Remember, they won 5 games last year. They lost most of their offensive weapons. But the amount of money that comes in on Jim Harbaugh might have something to do with this number. So both LA teams are on our schedule this year. We play these teams 3 times. We play the Chargers twice and the Rams once. Rams and Chargers at 8.5. Then at 7.5 season win totals, Minnesota, New Orleans, Pittsburgh, Seattle, and Tampa Bay. Okay, let's go over that for a second. Minnesota losing Kirk Cousins. You think they're going to win 8 games without Kirk Cousins? New Orleans with Derek Carr, they got a lot of talent. They didn't do much for Derek last year. They didn't protect him well. Pittsburgh, I like that number because I think Russell Wilson is great. I love the fact that Pittsburgh got him. You know, I wish the Raiders would have looked closer at that. I said it before. I think that's fair. If you look at Russell Wilson's career going over the number, and Pittsburgh always wins. Always. They never are below 500 with Mike Tomlin. Why wouldn't you bet Pittsburgh in the over? Seattle and Tampa Bay. Then we get to 6.5. And here are the Raiders. Raiders, Las Vegas Raiders season win total. 6.5 along with Arizona. I thought Arizona had a great draft. We had Howard Balzer on, and he talked about that draft. They had their first 6 picks are all going to start on that team. They had an A draft for me. The New York Giants, who the Raiders beat last year, they're at 6.5 along with Tennessee and Washington, the Commanders with Jaden Daniels. So they have the Raiders at the bottom of the barrel. Here are the only other teams lower than the Raiders at season win total. That would be 5.5, so they'd have to win 6 to go over the number. It would be Carolina, good news, Denver, and New England. And the Raiders played Denver twice this year, and I'm saying if you ever sweep Denver, we've won 8 in a row, you got to do it here. You got to do it here because the season win total is 5.5. And a matter of fact, if you're a Denver fan listening to us, or I would bet the over on Denver this year. I think that Sean Payton is a good enough coach. They made a lot of changes there. They got rid of good players. It feels like a rebuild, but I always believe that that could be the type of team that could go over the number. So again, the Raiders at no respect here. The number is 6.5. And how is that going to sit with you? So what I asked Bobby to do, and we're doing here today on a Friday, heading into the weekend, is to look at the Raiders since I came to the Raiders in 1998. So let me tell you my quick story here and one of the reasons I get upset with these season win totals and what's going to happen here. I think the Raiders are better than 6.5 wins this year. Last year they won 8 games and they're much better. They're better than they were last year. Would anybody deny that they're better? You had Aiden O'Connell who never played and you had Jimmy Garoppolo who was hurt. Now you got Aiden O'Connell with experience and Gardner Minshew who wins games. So I think they're better than 6.5, but that's just me. We got to see where the schedule has the Raiders on the road, the bye week and all that. So I come to the Raiders in 98. The Raiders were 8-8. Charles Woodson was the defensive rookie of the year. My second year with the Raiders was 99, and they were 8-8. So 2 years in a row, I'm there doing the pre- and post-game show, 8-8. 2000, the Raiders, first in the AFC West, 12-4. They lost the AFC championship game to the Ravens. The following year, coming off that, the Raiders, as you know, this was big, the Tuck rule. We all remember that. We don't want to remember it, but we have to remember it here for this point. The Raiders end up showing up and have one of the best years that I've ever been a part of with the Silver and Black. They were absolutely outstanding. When you look at what the Raiders were able to do, 10-6, they beat the Jets in the wild card 38-24, which was great. And they lost a divisional playoff game at the Patriots 16-13 in overtime. So, again, that is my fourth season with the Raiders. The fifth year I'm with the Raiders. So 5 years in a row, I'm up in the Bay Area. I'm working for the team. They go to the Super Bowl. 11-5, they beat the Jets. They beat the Titans in the championship. And they go to the Super Bowl and lose to the Buccaneers. We know that story. Gannon was the MVP that year. Bill Callahan was the coach. So let's pause for a second. This is what I was taught about Raider football when I came in. 8-8, 8-8, 12-4, 10-6, 11-5. Pretty good start to my career. Doing big remotes, big games, having the time of my life. I've always had the time of my life. Then after the Super Bowl loss, really the Raiders hit the skids for a number of years. And it was rough. So after the Super Bowl, starting in 2003 in Oakland, 4-12, 5-11, that's Norv Turner. 4-12, 5-11, 4-12, 2-14 with Art Shell, 4-12 with Lane Kiffin, 5-11, Lane Kiffin fired Tom Cable, 5-11, Tom Cable. So, from 2003 through 2009, the Raiders never won more than five games. So, first 5 years, winning all the time. Next 5 years, 10 years into my career, I get the best, and then I get a drop-off. And I'm just talking about the season win number going back to 6.5. Then Hugh Jackson comes in 8-8. Then it goes 4-12, 4-12, 2012 and 13 with Dennis Allen. Dennis Allen starts the next year. Dennis Allen goes 0-4 and gets fired for Tony Sparano. The Raiders go 3-13. So I'm going through some lean years here on the radio, doing what I do now, trying to fire up Raider Nation. I never thought that any of these 4 or 5 win teams were that bad. I'm just getting to the point. I always thought that they were better than that. And then the season gets out of control. You start losing games, and then the wheels come off. Then the Raiders went to 7-9 in 2015. And then the Jack Del Rio season, Khalil Mack, the defensive player of the year. We lose the wild card at the Texans. Remember that, which was brutal. That was a tough one, and the Raiders seemed to be finding their way under Khalil Mack. And I remember the passion that I had that, hey, Khalil Mack's here. This is going to turn it around. So Jack Del Rio goes 12-4, then he goes 6-10, then the Raiders go 4-12 and 7-9 under Gruden. We come to Las Vegas. We come to Las Vegas in 2020. And in 2020, I mean, look at the Raiders, 8-8. Under John Gruden. Gruden the following year was 3-2 before he resigned. 10-7, playoffs with Rich Bisaccia. 6-11 with Josh McDaniels. 8-9 with Josh McDaniels and Antonio Pierce. McDaniels went 3-5 before he was fired. Antonio Pierce went 5-4. So if you look at the Raiders here, I'm just giving you a look back at my career and what I've seen. So with all those years that the Raiders have won 6, 7, you know, looking at the numbers, 4, 5, all of those years, I always thought the Raiders were better going into the season than what their record turned out to be. The only year that I remember that I thought they were going to struggle is when Lane Kiffin was fired and Tom Cable took over. They were 5-11, and that team was a weird team to me. The Lane Kiffin exit, Tom Cable coming in, and Tom Cable down the stretch was 4-8. I wasn't optimistic going into 2009, and I was right. The Raiders were 5-11. And then Hugh Jackson, we're talking about 8-8 years in 2010 and 11. So saying all that, I just want to say, I look at this team and I remember all the 6 and 7 win teams that I worked under. And I think this team is so much better than what Vegas is doing, giving them 6.5, man. I just mentioned all the teams that really struggled and were bad and the coaches got fired. We just had Antonio Pierce come off a 5-4 season, have the interim tag ripped out to become the head coach, and Las Vegas has them at 6.5. And I mentioned all the other teams that couldn't win 7 games, and this team is predicted to be as bad from Vegas' perspective as all of those teams I mentioned. 5-11, 7-9, 6-10, 4-12, 7-9. That's what they think of your Las Vegas Raiders. Vegas going into this year. I don't. I think this is a vastly improved roster. If the Raiders go under the win total, you know where to find me. I'll be balls out like I always am, hoping they win every game and trying to fire up people and talk about winning and not losing. But Bobby said, hey, man, be sharp about what you want to do here. And I said, look, it's too early to sit here and give you a number right now. I'm not looking for you to call in or tweet at me at JT the Brick. Oh, the Raiders are going to win 9 games. Let's get to camp. Let's get to camp and get to Costa Mesa, see a little bit of a quarterback battle. Let's get into the preseason. Let's hope no one gets injured and see what happens. But I can tell you, Friday heading into the weekend, the Raiders are better than 6.5. I think they're better than 7. And last year, the Raiders, with Jimmy Garoppolo's injury and the firing of Josh McDaniels, went 8-9. And they didn't even set the win total this year after 8-9 with a better offseason, free agents like Christian Wilkins, Brock Bowers coming in via the draft. We got a massive guard / center. They didn't even give us 7.5 as a number, thinking that the Raiders could win 8. As some people say, you're welcome. If you want to make a bet on the Raiders going over the season total right after what I said, I'd do it. The only thing you have to do is you're going to have to wait till January or mid-January to find out if you're right. You know, you're going to have to wait to go cash your ticket if you're right and they go over, and your money's going to sit there in an account at a sports book getting no interest as you wait to see if the Raiders can win 7 games or more. I think they should. I think it's a lock, but that's why I don't gamble, and I'm not in the gambling prediction business. 702-365-9200. Thanks to our great friends at the M Resort Spa and Casino. I tweeted out yesterday. The M Resort invites you to see pop singer, songwriter, artist, and actor Jesse McCartney. He takes the stage this summer at M Resort. Tickets on sale today. So you can go to Ticketmaster.com if you want to see Jesse McCartney playing July 6th at the M Resort Spa and Casino. Heading into the Stones weekend. Excited about it as we continue and we wrap up our week. Friday, this is the flagship of the Silver and Black.
Tailgate. The cornerbacks that were asked to do the job did the job, and guys emerged to go and take spots. Guys like Jack Jones, Nate Hobbs constantly improving. So what more would you want to add to a group that's already good?
There's some players out there that are still available that provide a level of competence, experience under Patrick Graham. And certainly if they were to come in to be that starter, now all of a sudden you feel much better about the depth.
The Morning Tailgate, weekdays at 7 a.m. on Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m.
You know, a lot of lawyers who advertise here don't even live here. If they say Nevada, they're not from around here. If they think our capital is Las Vegas, they're not from around here. I'm Richard Harris, and I am from Nevada. I grew up here. I went to school here. I raised my family here. No one knows Nevada like we do. If you've been injured, call me, Richard Harris, of the Richard Harris Law Firm, 444-4444, just in case.
This is JT for Grimaldi's Pizzeria, that famous New York-style coal-fired brick oven pizza that you crave. 4 locations in the Valley, Boca Park in Summerlin, on the Strip at the Palazzo, Southwest Las Vegas on South Rainbow, and in Green Valley on Southeastern Avenue.
Finley Auto Group is pleased to welcome the newest dealership in the Valley Auto Mall, Finley Nissan Henderson. Looking for a new or used Nissan car, truck, or SUV? Find your Nissan at Finley Nissan Henderson. Visit the showroom today to get the best deals and customer service on all Nissan makes and models. Right now, save big with 0% on 2024 Altimas, OAC, and Nissan Versus, starting at only $18,000. Browse their full inventory of new or pre-owned vehicles at FinleyNissanHenderson.com. Find your Nissan at Finley Nissan Henderson, inside the Valley Auto Mall.
PT's Taverns is helping you chill with a mini fridge winner at every tavern this May. Stop in to any tavern to earn your entry for every purchase of a Heineken. Plus, enjoy food and beverage specials from $5. Don't miss Vegas's best happy hour with 50% off drinks, 5 to 7 p.m. and 12 to 2 a.m. daily. With over 65 taverns, there is always a location near you. To find yours, visit ptstaverns.com. That's ptstaverns.com today. This is Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM, the home of Raider Nation.
Modelo is an official cerveza of the Las Vegas Raiders and the JT the Brick Show. Modelo Especial is a rich, full-flavored Pilsner-style lager, delivering a crisp, refreshing taste, brewed with fighting spirit since 1925.
Terrible's is offering a gas discount of, check this, 40 cents per gallon with the purchase of a car wash at over 80 locations. That's right! Get 40 cents off per gallon of any fuel grade, including diesel, when you purchase a car wash in-store or at the pump. That way, you can fill up and keep shining. Offer valid at participating locations. Visit Terrible's.com to find a location near you. Terrible's. Deliberately different since 1959.
Tom got a new ride.
Hey, Tom, sweet ride.
Thanks, Jim.
Hey, Tom, sweet ride.
That's my ex-girlfriend.
Thanks, Marcy.
Did Tom get a raise? Did he win the lottery?
Nah, I just got a sweet loan from One Nevada Credit Union.
Smart move, Tom.
Thanks. They have great terms, low rates, and an easy approval process. All I needed to do was find a sweet ride.
Get a sweet loan for a sweet ride at onenevada.org. Federally insured by NCUA.
Our one focus is you.
Donate today at carsforkids.org. Your car, running or not, could be picked up as soon as the next day. No title, no problem. Go to carsforkids.org today.
1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Donate your car today.
Now accepting donations of land, homes, buildings, or any kind of real estate.
Hey, it's Chris Fox. Well, if you went to thechrisfox.com last week, you found out what my secret gig is. I'm a Las Vegas realtor with Simply Vegas, and I have been. I'm part of a real estate team with over 22 years of experience right here in Las Vegas. And the Las Vegas market is on the move. So if you're thinking about buying or selling, give me a call. 702-419-4346. Let's make the next move yours. 702-419-4346. Or go to thechrisfox.com. I want to be your trusted Las Vegas realtor. Simply Vegas, license number 100960.
The JT The Brick Show is brought to you by Remy Martin. Team up for excellence.
JT back with you on a Rolling Stones weekend, a Raiders press conference day. Rookies report, loving it here on a beautiful Friday on the flagship of the Silver and Black. This is Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM. I hope everybody has an unbelievable weekend. Bobby has a great weekend. We don't have a Golden Knight game this weekend, which kind of sucks. We don't have a Golden Knight game this weekend where I could have been maybe going, maybe after the Stones, maybe the next day I'll go to see hockey. We are done. We are finito with hockey, but you could tell that the Raiders are ramping up here. I want to play a portion of Antonio Pierce today. I was able to watch it live on Twitter as I was doing some things today, man. I've been buried at home, man. I've been under construction at home, contractors, backyard, this or that. Save that for a podcast, but I got a chance to listen to that press conference today. Antonio Pierce is special. Put him in front of a microphone. That's a good thing. I've worked with them all. I think this is my 15th head coach since I've been here, and he's probably the best already, the best out of the gate, other than Gruden. Gruden was the greatest, no debate, behind a microphone. Antonio Pierce is really good, so we'll get to that momentarily as we continue on here. A lot of Raider fans have been tweeting at me, asking me this. You're going to hear about Aiden O'Connell coming up here in a minute, man. But my sense was, before we play some of this, that Aiden O'Connell's the one. Aiden O'Connell's the one, and the two's going to be Gardner Minshew, and the two's going to have to beat out the number one to play. I've said that. I think Aiden O'Connell was a big reason why Antonio Pierce got the job, because he won those games down the stretch, and Antonio Pierce went 5-4 down the stretch to be able to go out and get that job. But for Brock Bowers, also, Brock Bowers now a Raider. Those jerseys are going to fly off the shelf. I talked to one of my buddies at a team store, and said, can't believe what's going to happen with this guy's jersey. Do you know how many people at the University of Georgia, Georgia fans are, let me get this right, they're bizarre fans because they lived under the shadow of Alabama forever and Nick Saban. They did. Nick Saban was big brother. Then they surpassed Alabama, and now Georgia has all these players in the NFL, and many Georgia fans consider this guy, Brock Bowers, to be their all-time greatest player. It's not the quarterback. Not the quarterback, that's for sure. The running backs have been pretty good, including Zamir White, Zeus. There's been some good players there, but you can't name Georgia wide receivers at length the way you can talk about LSU wide receivers. The amount of Georgia fans, my guy at my wedding, one of my best friends, college roommate, his son, went to Georgia, and he called me and said, hey, man, any chance you can help getting an autograph? I said, I don't do autographs. I don't go up to people and ask for autographs, but I can help you get a jersey. I'll go buy it with my discount, and I'll go get it for you. So I'm getting my de facto nephew a Brock Bowers jersey next time I'm in the building or at the Raider Image at Allegiant Stadium. Maybe they'll be selling Brock Bowers jerseys with Mick Jagger jerseys coming up here this weekend. But a good day so far as we continue here. So for Antonio Pierce, this is what he does. This is the rookies coming together, and the attendance is fantastic. And Antonio Pierce knows that attendance better be mandatory with these young guns, because it's mandatory with Aiden O'Connell and Max Crosby and all the other players that are there. They show up early and they stay late. I also give you a little cue that some of the players that are no longer here, little clue, didn't show up early and stay late. Oh, JT, how could we get rid of that guy? Why wasn't that guy here? Get there early, stay late. Where are you? After lifting weights, you still in the building? Antonio Pierce is going to demand greatness with this group. As you know, after my 6.5 wins rant that I'm going nuts about here, the only way this team's going to win 9 or 10 games is if the camaraderie's here. It's great out in Costa Mesa. It's unbelievable here. And everybody believes they have an opportunity to do something special this year. And it's going to have to be super special for this team to compete with Kansas City in the AFC West. So from a few hours ago, here's a portion of the conversation, meeting the media, Antonio Pierce.
What do you think about Transit? What do you think about Trey Taylor being available in the 7th round, a Jim Thorpe Award winner?
Come on. Where does that happen at, right? Got two of them on our team now. He's been a really good college football player. But Trey was very impressive when we brought him in on a 30 visit. Very mature. You can see why he was successful in college. I think he has a great opportunity to help us, especially in the kicking game. But when you look at him physically, I mean, he's a specimen. I mean, he's a good-looking prospect. It's good to get him in the building. Glad to have him here. Great smile, good personality, a really good fit for us.
Get out of the rookie mini camp here over the next 2 days?
Learning. We're in elementary school. How we do things the Raider way, the Raider culture, the mindset, how we play football, how we practice, how we study. They're doing that now in the classroom. I mean, they're bright-eyed. I can be here 5 minutes early. They're here about 20 minutes early. They're sitting in the room by themselves, and I looked around like thought it was a meeting going on, and they're just ready to go, man. So a bunch of eager players, and I think for us, just to get to one another, we talked about trust, accountability and process with these guys yesterday, and to continue to grow that and get them accustomed to not only the coaches but the rest of the players on our roster.
Coach Harmaff, as a player, you were an undrafted guy, had to grind for everything to get to where you are. You have a lot of guys that are coming into rookie minicamp today that kind of are trying to accomplish the same thing. So how excited are you going to be to watch those guys as well trying to make their way through?
Yeah, we got 32 Raiders here. I don't care if you're the 13th pick or the guy that's trying out. They got a Raider uniform on. We're going to treat them accordingly. They earn the right to stay here. They earn the right to get more reps. Just excited to get them here, man. It's just good to get a full roster. 90 guys on the roster. Now we can kind of like put this thing together, right? Start to build this team and what we wanted to look for the 24 season.
Antonio, from a personnel standpoint or from a X's and O's standpoint, as a former linebacker, how tough is it to defend a 12 personnel package on the other side of the ball?
It's very difficult. I mean, just, again, because where can these guys align? And I think when you look at our guys, both of them can do a lot of things for you. You can line them up again. I told you, the slot at the number one wide receiver. You can put them in line. You can put them in pairs. But more importantly, who's matching up on the other side against us? Is it a linebacker? Is it a safety? Is it a nickel? Is it a corner? So I think each team throughout the league, when you look at their 12 personnel, their body types and their skill set changes defensively what you like to do and what you want to do. And that dictates. And I think hopefully our 12 personnel does that this season.
When you were playing, did you face that a lot, or was that even in vogue yet?
It wasn't as big. I mean, more, you know, if you think about 12 personnel in the 2000s, it was a true Y, like that extra old lineman and that really skilled player, right? The Shockies, the Whittons of the world, Chris Cooley's of those guys in the division I played in. And then you had that guy that was just like, man, he's, you know, 6'6", 270, just extra offensive lineman. And this is different. You're talking about skilled players who can catch the ball, who can come out the backfield, who can do a lot of different things for you. And you see it. Kansas City does it a lot with their tight ends.
Antonio, Jackson Powers Johnson looks like a guy that's kind of right up your alley a little bit, and Raiders, you know, as well. What'd you like about the guard from Oregon?
I just love the film. I saw a guy that was gritty, that finished, that strained, that loved the physicality of the game. I saw a leader, saw a winner, saw a guy that just loves football. And, you know, you want that identity up front. You always look at teams. With the best teams, it ain't the skill position, right? You want those gritty guys like we got on our D-line. You want that on the offensive line. And the more of those bad boys we can bring in with Colton Miller, Mumford, and James, that's going to be huge for us. But he has an attitude, man. I mean, talking to him on the phone was emotional even for me because just how excited he was. You know, and it was like, bam, we got it right. Maybe nobody else likes it, but we got it right because it's a match made in heaven.
Coach, kind of speaking about right up your alley, obviously you guys drafted Tommy out of Ohio State. As a former linebacker, what excites you the most about his game and what he brings?
Old school football, smash mouth, no fair dodging, bring on the lead, you know what I mean? Leader, captain, green dot, played in a system and on a team that has won, has been close to winning national championships and been there, played some really good players. But more important is his presence. When you walk around him, you feel a linebacker. He feels and looks like a linebacker. And he can create some more size for us in depth. I mean, you look at guys like Robert Spillane, you look at Diablo, look at Luke Masterson, what they've been able to do. Get this young guy in here with those guys and let him grow and learn from them. Future is bright.
I'm sure you heard the Terry Arnold thing about the coin flip. What was your reaction to hearing that story? Was that
only talk about Raiders?
You made it pretty clear all along that no matter who you brought in here at quarterback, the job was basically going to go through Aiden. How comfortable are you with that quarterback room and excited to see how this thing all plays out?
I'm excited. I mean, what Aiden did the last four games and what he's done this offseason, changing his body, his work ethic, being here every day, blocking out the outside noise, not worried about anything. I'm excited. And then you bring Gardner in here and then listen, you talk about personality. I know you guys interviewed him. It's great. It's great for our building. It's great for our quarterback room. And if you got competition in the quarterback room, what does every other room look at? Looking at those two guys. Anthony Brown's done a heck of a job as well. So what I see is guys getting out there early. Aiden is already kind of taking the bull by the horn, and he's leading the way, and Minshew's right there doing as well. Two guys has played, and you saw them play against each other last year, and they went neck to neck. But I'm really excited to see what happens. I think it's going to be a process. We're going to stick to the process. But as I said before, Aiden's earned the right to go out there and get the first snap.
Aiden said he's been through this before. Always had to fight for his job. Do you think that's what benefits him now?
Yeah, Aiden is mentally tough. I said this last year. I said Aiden has a certain thing mentally where he blocks out outside noise. He doesn't worry about it. I mean, I'm sure he reads like we all do. But when he comes to work, he's focused. He's prepared. He studies. He puts the time in. There's been conversations that we've had that I've seen him grow in this short period of time in the offseason. I'm really excited to see Aiden as we go through OTAs, mini camps, and training camp.
Coach, the corner Richardson, who fell in the fourth round, got some measurables that jump off the page, 6'2", 4'3", 40. What kind of upside do you see from him, and what do you see on tape?
Man, a sponge. But first of all, I can't make him taller, right? He stood up the other day, I said, damn. And then when you watch him run, wow, right? And then when you talk to him, you talk about a guy that just loves ball, all ball, right? He's about ball and his horses. But more importantly, when you get him here, he's a sponge. And we can mold him to what we want. And when we looked at the draft, we wanted to get bigger. We want to get longer. We want to get faster. We want to get tougher. And he fits all those.
I know you mentioned Thayer a little bit ago. That's a guy that I think a lot of people kind of forgot about in the process.
How can you forget about him?
Everybody's saying, oh, you need a right tackle. Like, he's here. He's been here.
So. We never said that.
Outside people have said it. I guess, what have you seen out of him in his development?
Worked his tail off. Came back, great shape, running. He's got a little chip on his shoulder, right? I'm sure he reads the outside news. But he looked really good. You know, we got him both. The thing about Thayer is a special. Could play left tackle, could play right tackle. Hell, we even lined him up at tight ends at times last year. The versatility that he brings. But more important is year three. And he understands this is a great opportunity for him to really just say, I'm your guy. And I told him, it's his for the taking.
What does Andres Pete bring to the mix?
Veteran, right? Pro bowler, inside a guard. Gives you some flexibility at left tackle. What we want to do, and Telesco did a hell of a job, and we talked about it, is creating depth amongst our offensive line, right? We want legit 8-9 guys. I want competition in every room. I want guys to be looking around and say, man, I can't have a bad day. There's no such thing as having a bad day. And you get a veteran presence who's been here and done it, and that helps a guy like Munford, right, grow and learn. Also could teach you some tricks of the trade with Colton Miller. So his experience, and I always said I value guys who've played in the league and played at a high level. He gives us that mentally.
Is he in the mix of right tackle all the
time? We'll keep him on the left side.
I guess one of the big stories around the team this week was potentially moving training camp to Southern California. I guess what kind of benefit does it have to get out of the heat for train somewhere else?
Yeah, I don't think it's more about the heat. It's about team bonding. When I played in the National Football League, we never stayed at our facility. I was used to traveling and going away and kind of bunkered up us and 90 or 85 players at the time, whatever it was, and team bonding, getting together, getting to know one another, get away from all the distractions, all about ball, just ball. You know, I told us I want us to be the tightest group of Raiders that hopefully this organization has seen, and that's what we're going to grow and build on and get that physical toughness that we want to build on in training camp. And, yeah, does it help that it's a little cooler? No doubt. But more importantly, you know, I think it's just good for our team to bond, to get away, and just focus on us.
You guys good?
Antonio, you're a confident guy. I was just wondering, as you've gone through this process now with you and Tom and through the draft and all the scouts making the decisions, were there any kind of, oh, wow, or eye-popping moments for you that you didn't maybe, I didn't anticipate this or that, or this is something I didn't really think about? Or
be honest, Bowers. We didn't see that one. Didn't see it. Didn't think he'll be there at 13. And was just shocked to see it kind of just like, okay, you start counting. Wow, okay, no-brainer there. I mean, when you get a dynamic player, a guy that loves football, doesn't really like to talk to the media, so sorry, guys, right? He's not going to be long-winded. But he's all about ball, and he's a winner, man. He's a winner. He's tough. He wants to get better. I think the first thing, I talked to Mike right away when we drafted him, and I said, man, damn, this is going to be a great combination. You know, two young studs to grow up together within our organization that can help us win a lot of games.
Thanks, Coach.
Okay, thank you, guys.
So as you can tell, there are a couple of big takeaways that I want to get to. He loves this rookie class. When it comes down to Brock Bowers, there was no coin flip. And by the way, raise your hand and beep your horn if you were stupid enough to think they flipped the coin. Really? I mean, I got a lot of people in my Twitter, and I've been on a blockade recently. Just if you're going to be that stupid, I'll block you out of existence. Did you really think that there was going to be a coin flip for a player in a war room? You know how many people would have got fired? It's all under video. You don't think there was a video in there, a coin flip? And I actually had fans saying on my text messages, JT, did they flip a coin? Oh, yeah. Yeah, they flipped the coin. Stop. This is Tom Telesco's war room with Mark Davis and George Atkinson sitting there. I can imagine if a coin was flipped, George Atkinson would have dove over the table and knocked the coin out of the air. So we put that to rest here. But the quarterback battle going forward to me is going to be the big takeaway from earlier today. Let it be said, today was a big day in this unit, in this group. All the hockey coaches say, I love this group, this group. Well, this group today, I think my takeaway, at least, and it doesn't have to be yours, is that Gardner Minshew is going to have to compete to be the starter. Aiden O'Connell is going to have the role for some time. And then Aiden O'Connell is going to have to hold on to that job. And Gardner Minshew is going to have to fight to get it, which I'm good with. I think that's fair. I think the incumbent quarterback should be the starter. But it looks like there will be a camp battle, which will be great for myself, Q, Vinny, Clay. Happy birthday to Clay Baker. Oh, whoa, whoa, wait a second, stop. Happy birthday to the great Clay Baker today on Clay's birthday. I hope he and his son are having a great day today, Clay. It's special. Clay, have a great birthday out there. We appreciate you. So again, when it comes back to what we're going to see here with this quarterback battle coming up in Costa Mesa, in Henderson, in the preseason, can't wait for this preseason schedule to come out along with the schedule next week. We're going to come back and I'm going to touch on what we're going to be doing here over the next couple of weeks here. The most important thing will be the schedule coming out, which I love that with New Orleans on the road trip with Miami and Tampa. We got a lot of choices to make, but I thought today was a good day for Antonio Pierce. He's treating every one of those rookies the same way. They all are invited to be Raiders. They're all a part of the roster. They all signed. They signed that rookie class. How sweet and stealth was that? As they get everybody in there, the attendance is going to be great. And if you're an undrafted free agent rookie, you're going to have an opportunity to impress Antonio Pierce. Antonio Pierce knows who's in that room. And Antonio Pierce will make sure everybody has an opportunity to go out and compete. Man, he's good. It's an honor to have an opportunity to interview him for social media, television, and everything we do with Antonio Pierce. As now he is the head coach, not the interim head coach. The last time I saw Coach was at the Raiders gala when he had a microphone on stage with Catherine McVie, and he was singing. I think it was the Dock of the Bay or one of those songs, one of the classics that he was singing there with his tuxedo on. So command of the room was great. A lot of people asked questions today, including Q Myers, who will be coming up at the top of the hour. And Q asked a lot of good questions. He's embedded in those press conferences along with Vinny Bonsignore and the guy we had on in the first hour, Chris Matthews, the dean of the newsmen, as we wrap it up on the other side. I got to get my head on it. I got to get my head on, Bobby, for the Rolling Stones. You know, I like to pre-party for the Stones. I got buddies staying at the Luxor, the Mandalay Bay. They want to go to Whiskey, the new bar next to Terrible's right there. I wish there was a Rolling Stones tailgate, man. You think they'll have a Stones tailgate? Yeah, I'm not talking about people walking with the 12-pack of Modellos after getting dropped off. I'm talking about a real Stones tailgate. I'm going to go see the Stones on July 5th in Vancouver. And I'm a guy that wants to see the Stones play for another 20 years, but I have a feeling this will be the last stop in Vegas, unless they add a date on the back end of this tour, because it's just too easy for them. They can't turn down that money. Raider Nation Radio, the flagship of the Silver and Black, brought to you by Tequila Commissario, the Ferrari of tequilas. Wow. When you put it down, you pour the shot, everybody in the room says the same thing. What was that? Can I have some more, please? JT on a Friday here on the flagship of the Silver and Black. JT, as we continue here, when we wrap it up on the flagship of the Silver and Black and on the Raiders mobile app. I hope everybody has a great weekend. I'll thank all of our partners coming up here on the other side. I'm happy we were able to play a portion of that. I've been doing radio 27 years. Memorial Day will be my 28-year anniversary, wink, wink, on Memorial Day. That comes up pretty quick here. And we're off here, but I'm doing a national show that day for SiriusXM. Whenever you have the coach or the quarterback, you play it. You play it. And I hope Q plays the sound bites today and we carried it live. Whenever I have Antonio Pierce and it's my show and I'm live and I'm talking to you from home or in the studio, I'm going to play the coach because the coach is much more important than me. And with Antonio Pierce, as we've touched on again, as you just heard that last segment, he is in command of the room here and command about what's going to happen going forward. You know, I'm not a stir the pot guy. I watch other people stir the pot. And then I react to it, and a lot of people, the topic this week was the Raiders 6.5, as we mentioned earlier in the hour, 6.5. A lot of other people are stirring the pot on what that means here. Look, I would say bet your life that the Raiders are going to win more than 6.5 games. And if you lose your life, I'm sorry for that, but from a gambling perspective, that is a big deal, man. You got an opportunity. I wouldn't be surprised if that number moved up to 7. I'm just telling you that as we get going. NBA, so you know I'm a diehard Knicks fan. I'm going to see what happens with the Knicks coming up here. The Knicks are my priority in life. I didn't mention a lot of that today. So the Knicks play the Pacers. That game today is 4 o'clock p.m. Pacific time. In Indianapolis, I think the Knicks are going to struggle in this game. Indy is a 7.5-point favorite. As I said earlier in the week, I think Indy's going to get the calls from the refs because they didn't get them in New York. They didn't. And as much as I like some home cooking, some home court calls, I want some home calls for the Raiders at Allegiant, the Pacers are going to get the calls in this game. I wouldn't be surprised. I'm rooting diehard for the Knicks. I wouldn't be surprised if the Pacers won big. Plus, the Knicks have a lot of injuries. Ananobi is out and Brunson is questionable. If Ananobi's out and Brunson's not at 100%, I'd probably shut down Brunson for game 3 and bring him back game 4. And then what feels to be an elimination game, even though it's not, it's the Nuggets at the Timberwolves. That game's going to start at 6:30 p.m. Pacific time, 9:30 Eastern. You know, I don't mind a game on a Friday night, East Coast at 9:30, because a lot of fans are in bars. You put that on Monday, Tuesday, and have a game 9:30 Eastern. That is way late to start a game, but it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. So that is a unique time for us here for the NBA, because we don't have an NBA team here in Las Vegas, but we're going to get one. And I really believe we're going to get one, and we're going to get one, and it's going to be big time, and it'll be expansion team, and it'll be just like the Golden Knights. LeBron might be the owner of the team. He'll be a minority owner. He won't own the team by himself. He'll be a minority owner. But more and more, when I look to the future here, LeBron will be getting out of the NBA as the ground is breaking on a stadium arena here that LeBron could be a part of. Big game tonight for the Joker and the adjustments here for Denver. If Denver loses this game and ends up getting swept by the Wolves, they're going to be a one-and-done team. And their legacy is going to be they won one with the three-time MVP with Joker, and they couldn't win one again. It's hard to win. It's hard to win, and it looks like the Suns are going to hire Mike Budenholzer to replace Frank Vogel. As I've always told you, the regurgitation of the middle-aged white guy. You fire a middle-aged white coach, and traditionally in the NBA, you hire a former fired middle-aged white coach. And here it goes again, the revolving door of coaches in the NBA. It's incredible. We've run out of coaches. There are no more left. The Cavaliers beating the Celtics, as I'm looking at Bobby here, he can't believe it. And Bobby, I give Bobby credit. He predicted the Celtics would fall asleep in one game, and they were able to do that. They fell asleep in a game, and they weren't able to get it done. Michael Penix is in the national news today. He's in Atlanta. As the rookie showed up, he hadn't been in Atlanta for 48 hours, hasn't even found a place to live. He hasn't even scoped out, as he said, his spot to fish. He hasn't braved the traffic there. He said, I can't sit here and be starstruck no more. Said that earlier today after his first practice as a Falcon. I got to produce. And Raheem Morris now is the head coach there, and I don't think Kirk Cousins is going to go anywhere along the way. Oh, one other quick thing I want to get to before we wrap it up here at the top of the hour. The WNBA reportedly awarding Toronto an expansion franchise to begin in 2026. These Caitlin Clark stats on the 13,000 fans that showed up for the game and what she's doing is absolutely incredible. I have not seen, and this is going to be the biggest story of the year, depending on who wins. No, it'll even be bigger than the World Series and maybe the NBA Finals. The emergence of Caitlin Clark and how she moved the needle, and now every WNBA franchise, including Mark Davis's, and congratulations to the Aces, they were at the White House yesterday. They were at the White House yesterday, and as we mentioned with Chris Matthews, that's a big storyline. Whenever you get invited to the White House, no matter who's the president, it's an honor of a lifetime, and they were there back-to-back, as that is great. That's awesome for this town and what's happening there. So before I wrap it up again, thanks to Bobby. Thanks to all of our proud partners that I want to get to here, and let me get to them quickly here because we had a nice meeting today with a new partner. Man, we barely have room, and we always have room. We always have room for new partners here and people that want to be a part of what we do here. So let me give a quick shout-out on the way out the door as I get ready for my Rolling Stones weekend. We want to thank the Black Hole, Mark Jones and Cisco, the whole crew there. Football's most notorious fan base, the Black Hole. Become a fan. They got a lifetime fan right now. You can be a lifetime fan. I think they said it was $59. Can you believe that? You can pay $59 on a credit card and say you're a member of the Black Hole. Now, if you're going to be a member, you got to show up. You got to wear the colors, man. But that's an unbelievable deal. Boyd Gaming. Locals, locals, locals. And let me make sure I get this right because Boyd's got a concert coming up here in a little bit that I tweeted out on. Yes, that'll be Caleb Johnson's Classic Rock Time Machine, June 15th at 8 o'clock at Aliente. If you love classic rock the way I love classic rock, go check out that show. We appreciate Boyd Gaming. Our great friends over at Modelo, the fighting spirit of Modelo. Modelo's the brand that I like to most closely associate this show. I have my bucket of Modelo's coming up here in a bit on Friday. Looking forward to that. The DeCastaverde Law Group, Alex and Orlando DeCastaverde, if you get into an accident, put it in your phone right now, unless you're driving. 702-222-9999. The law firm based and built on their dad's legacy. Thrilled to be a part of them. Remy Martin, team up for excellence. The excellence of a Remy Martin sidecar. Remy Martin with all their activations in town. Where would we be without Golden Entertainment? We wouldn't have PTs. They fuel the monologue. Mike at La Casa Cigars and Lounge was there the other day. Hey, whenever I go into La Casa, just want to say this. There's always people now I'm getting to know, and I love that very much because I like making new friends, and I'm making a lot of new friends over at La Casa Cigars and Resort Spa and Casino, the official hotel of the Raiders, and we appreciate that. Tequila Commissario from our good friend Gavin Maloof, the Ferrari of all tequilas, and Resorts World. Resorts World, home of Doghouse Saloon, my home for Monday Night Football. Head on out to Resorts World, Doghouse Saloon, where I think I'm going to be at Resorts World tonight. After my son and I, my son with his new job, we're going to dinner at Piero's. Going to Piero's, first time my son has ever been to Piero's. Looking forward to that. Hey, everybody, thanks a lot for a big week. Q's on deck, ready to roll. He'll have great access because he had the access of the press conference today. Sunday, Mad Dog Sports Radio, 1 to 5 p.m. on Sunday. And then we're back for Coaches vs. Cancer next week with some coaches. Lon Kruger, I'll tell you all about that. Have a great weekend. Hope to see you at the Rolling Stones.